The first scripture reading today is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them. And the God of peace will be with you. Our next scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here with you today. My name's Tony. I am the son-in-law of Phil Kramer, and if you're old enough, Phil worked for the Plain Dealer for 44 years, and I married his second daughter. I'm glad to be here with you, and if I had known how many Northfield teachers were going to be here this morning, I would have worn my Northfield hat, but my three daughters absolutely love Mr. Henderson. He was just the greatest choir director ever to walk the face of the earth. Mr. Kaltenmark ran a pretty tight ship back in those days. Mr. Brubaker is here, and I haven't seen Steve for a long, long time. I have been here one time before when Steve Desper passed away. I can't remember what year that was, but Shelley asked me to preach his funeral, and it was here in this facility. And so I have been here one time. Charlie Miller is here, and he's a classmate of Christy and Phyllis, and we've known the Millers for a long, long time. But he's gotten older over the years, I noticed. I'm always glad to speak at a Presbyterian church. My mother's side of the family was converted to faith in Christ because of Presbyterian missionaries who came down to Mississippi, where the Choctaw Indians resided at the time. Andrew Jackson, of course, led to the Trail of Tears, and the Choctaws migrated to southeastern Oklahoma. I was my great privilege to speak at the Shenandoah Presbyterian Church, Bethel, is what they called themselves, for 13 months, and it was nice to be able to share with them. So I'm glad to be here today. Today's World Communion Sunday, and I wish my wife could be here. About 15 years ago, we took the only vacation we've ever taken by ourselves to Gettysburg. And when we went through the tour, we came to the Presbyterian Church, and they showed us the Abraham Lincoln pew. And I said to my wife, we're coming here for church on Sunday so that we can commune with Abraham Lincoln. I know you're supposed to worship the Lord, but I love history, especially Civil War history, and so we sat in the Abraham Lincoln pew. And it's a huge, huge church. I don't know how many services they have, but they had a young pastor at the time. He couldn't have been 35 years old. He preached a wonderful sermon, had a lot of humor. They have three choirs. They have a chancel choir. They've got a choir that sits in a balcony behind the people. And they were awesome. They had a children's choir who sang. I can't remember all the songs we sang, but it was Communion Sunday. And when the pastor got up, he said, in our church, communion's open to anybody who expresses faith in Christ. So, you know, we get a lot of visitors here to Gettysburg, so feel free to join us. So I looked at my wife, and she smiled, and so we decided we were going to partake of communion. And when they brought the communion out, it must have been Ladies' Day, because 24 women walked out with the communion emblems. It wasn't leavened bread. It was baked bread like you would eat with spaghetti. and they had little claws on top, and steam was coming out the side, and you could smell the yeast from the Abraham Lincoln pew. And I looked at my wife, and she began to salivate. She loves bread. And so when it came to us, we were in the middle of the pew, I noticed that the bread wasn't just those little tiny wafers you get at most churches. It was like the baked bread for spaghetti. And there was a pregnant pause as Christy held the bread, because I knew she was looking for the largest slice of bread on the plate. And after I passed it on, it must have taken her 2 or 3 minutes to eat that bread. She was enjoying every single bite. So after church, we got in line to leave, and the pastor was at the back door. So he stopped us and asked where we were from. We said Indiana. He asked how we liked church. And so Christy began just to brag about everything we'd experienced that day. And he said, well, I'm so glad that you came and that you had a positive experience. He said, if there's anything we could improve on, feel free to tell me. She said, well, I do have one suggestion. The next time you serve communion, if you'll add bread to the butter, that would be absolutely perfect. Well, I'm glad to be with you this morning. Nobody here is old enough to remember this, but 96 years ago, the stock market crash. It was totally unexpected. For most of the roaring 20s, the economy roared. The innovations of radio, the automobile, aviation, the telephone, and electric power changed our country forever. State-of-the-art companies like RCA and General Motors saw their stocks soar. But what most Americans didn't know were things happening behind the scenes. Wall Street had floated their investments by leveraging debt margin. Americans were told there was nothing to worry about. The stock market had increased 381% in a single decade. But that all changed over 5 dreadful days. Crop prices fell, construction ceased, banks folded, and drought and erosion ushered in the Dust Bowl. It was then that a British economist by the name of Lionel Robbins coined a term that we still use today, the Great Depression. In contrast to the Great Depression, the writer of Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In this passage, Solomon uses 4 action verbs. The first 3 involve us and the decisions we have to make on a daily basis. The 4th verb is a promise of God that if we fulfill the 3 action verbs, that he will direct our steps. I'm going to talk about those briefly this morning. The first verb is trust. Trust in the Lord. Now, the Hebrew word simply means to rely upon. When you trust God, you rely on him to keep his word. Our middle daughter lives down in Brownsburg. She's the mother of 3. And Gabe is the eldest. When he was about 10, Stephen Ashley phoned us and asked if we would come and grandparent 3 of our 6 grandkids for an evening so that they could go out and have a little fun. Yes, I said, we would love to do that. So we arrived as they got off the school bus. Steve and Ashley walked out the door. Gabe, who was about 10 at the time, turned to me and said, let's play Nerf War. I said, how do you play? He said, oh, it's easy. We went down in the basement. He opened his toy box. He got out these Nerf guns. It looked like a little machine gun. It did not have bullets. It had these little darts with a suction cup on the end. He said, you count to 100. I'm going to hide somewhere in the house. They have 3 stories. You come and find me, and whoever sees each other first will shoot. I said, is that it? And he said, that's how you play the game. Okay. So I counted to 100, made my way up the steps, walked through the kitchen, walking carefully not to be seen or heard, walked through the dining room, walked through the living room, came to where the front door is, and there's a landing there, steps going upstairs, and there's a landing upstairs with a railing. So I slowly turned my head around the corner and looked up, and I heard, whoosh, Gabe had shot a dart. It went right down the middle of my bald head. I only have three hairs, but I felt all three of them move. And he scared me to death. I said, Gabe, you got to be careful. You're going to shoot Papaw's eye out. Oh, he said, I'm not going to do that. I promise. Okay. So he said, go count to 100 again, which I did. So I came around the other way. And when I came to the entryway, I got on the floor on my back and scooted myself out to look up to fool him. And just as my eyeballs made contact, I heard, and he shot me right in my right glass. And it stuck. If we had had PowerPoint this morning, I would show you a picture. Now, I tell you that story simply to say that when you trust the Lord, keep in mind, it's not your former favorite grandson's empty promise. God has given his word. God has never broken his word. Not one time has he ever disappointed us. So trust in the Lord. Then he says that we're to lean on do not lean on your own understanding. That Hebrew word simply means to support oneself by leaning against. Some of you might come to church by holding hands with your spouse. Or maybe you have to have a cane to support you, to keep you from falling. Or maybe you have a walker. That's what some people do when they come to church. Several years ago, I read at getting my oil change an article on how to teach your kid to ride a bicycle in 5 minutes. I was interested because my youngest was hesitant about learning to ride a bicycle. The author said the key to riding a bike is knowing which way to lean. Then he wrote, lean with the lean. So when I got home, I got on my kid's bike. Because, you know, when you ride a bicycle, you don't think about what to do once you know how to ride a bicycle. And when I turned left, I found myself leaning. When I turned right, I found myself leaning. So I had to learn to lean with the lean. Recently, I found myself having to practice what I preach. Charlie Kirk was assassinated on September the 10th. I really liked listening to him speak. What I liked about Charlie is that he would go to college campuses and talk to college kids, and he would invite them to express their beliefs and convictions, and then they would debate each other. But some people cannot allow for others to have opinions. The day after he was shot and killed, my youngest daughter phoned and asked, did you hear what happened at Starbucks? No. Charlie Kirk had a favorite drink at Starbucks, mint tea. He was a health freak. Every day he'd spend $5 for a 6-ounce glass of mint tea without sugar. And so those who love and appreciate Charlie Kirk all went to Starbucks the next day to buy a glass of mint tea in his honor. Somewhere in Indianapolis, somebody went into a Starbucks, ordered a glass of mint tea, and the person who served the tea wrote on the cup, loser. They didn't care for Charlie Kirk. Well, when I heard that story, I was furious. I can be an emotional person. I learned that a long time ago. I try to work hard not to be an emotional person, but when I heard that, my blood began to boil. I was going to go to the nearest Starbucks and give them a piece of my mind, whatever's left of it. I was going to call my son-in-law the attorney and sue Starbucks. But a day later, I thought a little bit different, because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It took at least a day, but I leaned with the lean. Two natures beat within my breast. One is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the other I hate, but the one I feed will dominate. The third action verb that Solomon uses is the word acknowledge. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Anybody here ever watch Seinfeld? This will date you. First time I saw it, I didn't really care for it. It was a show about nothing. It kind of grew on me. Then my wife watched it, and you know, once it's kind of like the Hallmark Channel. Once your wife learns how to use that remote control, the game's over. So we watched Seinfeld. One night, the creator of Seinfeld interjected a Hebrew word in the script. It's our English word, acknowledge. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. When I use the word in a second, you're going to know which episode it was. George was explaining what had happened to his fiance, and he said, we bought the wedding invitations, and yada, 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 I'm still single. The Hebrew word for acknowledge is yada. In George's mind, his explanation was to be perceived. It means to understand by knowing. My question is, do you know the Lord well enough to perceive him? You yada God when you read from his word. You yada God when you meditate upon his promises. You yada God when you memorize some of the important verses of the Bible so that when Satan tempts you, you're able to resist him like Jesus did in the wilderness. And then the fourth action verb is a promise of God. He shall direct your path. The Hebrew word means to straighten your path. It's used in 1 Samuel 6 when the Philistines returned the Ark of the Covenant to Israel. And Moses says that they hitched two cows that had never been yoked, and they put the Ark of the Covenant on the cart. And then Moses writes, the cows went straight, keeping on the road. They did not turn to the right or to the left. We live in a world that no longer sees black and white. We shy away from taking a stand because we might come across as being judgmental towards somebody else. But when we trust God with our whole heart, he promises to help us love what is good and to hate what is evil. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So how do we do that? First, we need to trust the Lord entirely. The first three kings of Israel were Saul, David, and Solomon. And the Bible talks about the condition of their hearts. Saul had no heart for God. David loved the Lord with his whole heart. But Solomon had a half-hearted heart. And maybe that's why he begins this proverb by writing, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Solomon's heart was distracted from following God because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And 1 Kings 11:4 says, Solomon's wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord. Second, it means that we trust the Lord exclusively. He says, lean not on your own understanding. Graham Gerald is the middle son of Sean and Kelly Gerald. Sean's the assistant football coach down in Crawfordsville. When Graham was six, he was playing Xbox with his older brother Landon. Landon's 3 years older. And that day, Graham won. Guess what he did? He walked into the kitchen, got a cup, got the milk out of the fridge, poured himself a glass of milk, walked on the back deck where his mother was outside reading, and he poured the milk on top of his head. Kelly said she looked over at Graham and said, what in the world? Why did you do that? He said, because that's what winners do in Indiana. When you're bragging about beating your older brother, you might do that. None of us would ever pour milk on our heads, but you might brag about your IQ, or you might brag about your investment portfolio. You might brag about the things that you own. So Solomon says, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust me exclusively. Then he says, we need to trust him exactly. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In the Old Testament, God required a blood sacrifice, but Cain brought produce from the garden, and Genesis 4:5 says that God did not look with favor on Cain's offering. It also means that we are to trust the Lord expectantly. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Some of us have learned the hard way that there is a chasm between God's plans and our plans. About 5 years ago, I was driving through town in my truck, and I was listening to the radio, and a commercial came on about timeshares. My in-laws owned a timeshare in Daytona Beach, Florida, and then when they passed away, we bought the timeshare. But the monthly fee was going up, and Christy and I talked about it, and I said, I really think we need to sell the timeshare. But we were having trouble finding a buyer. So this was a commercial about how to liquidate your timeshare. And at the end of the commercial, the voice said, this is J.C. Skidmore. Call me at 1-800 with some other numbers. And when I heard the name J.C. Skidmore, I pulled into a car park because I went to college with a kid named J.C. Skidmore. So I dialed the 800 number. A lady answered the phone. May I help you? I said, yes, I just heard your commercial on the radio. And I want to know, is this the J.C. Skidmore from East Tulsa Christian Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma? Is this the J.C. Skidmore that went to Camp Siokomo in Albion, Missouri? Is this the J.C. Skidmore who enrolled in the Cincinnati Bible Seminary in 1973? Is this the J.C. Skidmore who graduated with me in 1977? And the voice on the other end said, is this Tony Thomas? It was Linda Skidmore, J.C.'s wife. I hadn't talked to them for 40 years. So I said, I'd like to talk to J.C. Well, you know, he's kind of busy. We played this commercial nationwide. So I'll have him call you tonight, which he did. And we talked and talked and talked late into the evening. Christy finally got up, waved goodnight. And it was about 1 or 2 in the morning before we finally hung up. When Christy got up in the morning, she said, what'd you talk about last night? I said, nothing. We just talked. One of the things that J.C. told me was, after we graduated, he became the youth minister at a church up in northwest Indiana. Linda's from Crown Point, so it's somewhere around there. And it didn't last very long. And I asked why. He said, because I was a terrible youth minister. I said, what do you mean you were terrible? He said, I'm the worst minister on the planet. But you know what? I'm really good at making money. So I went into business for myself. And I've made $1 million 5 times in 5 different businesses. And I said, well, what do you do with the money? He said, I give it to missionaries. So J.C. and Linda support missionaries all over the world. So in the course of the evening, we talked about the first sermon preached at the seminary was from Harvey Breen, the president of the school, and he preached from Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And J.C. said, what I have learned to do is to harmonize Proverbs 3:5, and 6 with Proverbs 16:9. I looked it up. A man's heart plans his way, but it's the Lord who determines his steps. If you fail in one area, it may be God leading you in another area, because he promises that if we trust and if we lean and if we acknowledge, he will direct our steps.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.